chapter 3. Our 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, he wrote this: "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." And by the way, that's what's wrong with our country now. They're leaving them. And our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, in 1821, said the highest glory of the American Revolution was this: it connected with, in one dissolvable bond, the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. Amen. Don't tell me our founding fathers didn't believe the Bible. Don't tell me they didn't believe in God. Our founding fathers, the country was founded on the Word of God. Amen. In God we trust. This is what Abe Lincoln said: "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." There's a lot of times you need to speak up. There's a time to be silent, but there's a time to speak up. Okay, I'm going to, I redid this message again. This is the third time I've done this message. Rewrote it. I've never done it, but I want to give you, I'm going to preach today, but I'm going to do a lot of teaching. Last week I started a message. I was talking about things to look for. What do I see coming? And what does the Bible say is coming? And I talked to you about the seven. I actually just got to my introduction. Remember I talked to you about the seven dispensations that God has for us? We're going to be in the church age, and we are in the church age right now. And so look at the scriptures. Kenny, here's what preacher's going to do today. Joey, when people read the Bible, if they understand the time where they're at, if they can understand God's timeline, when they read it makes sense to you. A lot of times people don't understand the Bible because they don't understand the timeline and what God's doing. And I always try to teach my people God's word so you can be enlightened so when you see things, I know where that's at. I know what that's talking about. That's why a lot of people get discouraged reading the Bible. They don't understand it. By the way, can I say something? I don't have to understand it. I just need to believe it. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. Things to look for, John. I titled Things to Look For. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 10, "But the day of the Lord will come." By the way, when I read this to you, this is not talking about the rapture. The passage up to 14, this is talking about in the end times, when God destroys. This is actually when this is talking about when at in the Revelation, it goes even, when he talks about the melt elements shall burn with fervent heat. That's talking about when he burns the world up at the end, before we go out in eternity. Hello? So you're all, like, you're at the end of Revelation chapter 20 what you're reading here. Okay? How many are still with me? I'm gonna go over and show you. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat." Boy, that is real global warming. That is global warming. That's the real deal there. I know where they got global warming at. We don't have it yet, but we're going to have it. They got it from the Bible. "The earth also and the works that are of therein shall be burned up." And Brother Mark, you can't get no more on global warming than that. "Seeing," God wants us to see things. He wants us to understand things. "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation with godliness?" By the way, because he's coming back, and because you know he's coming back, because there's great things, it ought to get down in our heart. Man, we ought to live for God now. Amen. You know what? My mama used to say, "You better behave, boy. Your daddy's coming back. He's going to be getting off of work in a few hours, and if you don't straighten up, I'm going to tell him on you." Okay, Mom. But did you want me to take the garbage out, Mom? And what else can I do for you, Mom? I'll run to the store. You ain't got to pay me nothing. Hello? You know what? Christians are living wicked and reckless lives. You Christians and all Christians, me alike, I say this to everybody. You need to understand something. Christ is coming. There's a day of judgment. And people are going to burn in hell because we didn't have a testimony for him. Mark said he got to lead a man to Christ that used to work for Freddie Belcher. And I said, Mark, the reason you got to lead him to Christ, you were out there knocking on doors. Because you went, because you spoke, because you witnessed, somebody got saved. See, we waste a lot of opportunities, and when Christ comes back, we're going to be sad that we didn't serve him. Serve him now. Do all you can now, because one day there won't be an opportunity. Look at verse 11. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be with all holy conversation? And that word conversation, it's a stronger word than just your words, your speech. It reflects your whole lifestyle, how you act, how you dress. By the way, please don't come out to the picnic with shorts on. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I'm a fundamental Baptist. Come out looking like a Christian. And godliness. Look at verse 12. Looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Look over here. This is what. Look over here. What we're talking about is going to happen right here at the end on the scale here that I got for you. I'll teach in just 1 minute. And so, nevertheless, we according to his promise. Aren't you glad we got his promise? Verse 13. You look for new heavens and a new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and that's what my title is, looking for those things to look for, that you may be, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, not slothful, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, you've had this in my heart, and I believe with all my heart I'm supposed to preach this today. Lord, I put it away and said I would never preach until you told me. You wouldn't let up on me even yesterday. You said no. So, Father, help people to listen. Help people not to have itching ears, but to have an open heart, to want to learn and understand. Lord, give me wisdom what to say and what not to say. And bless everyone here, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. These scriptures pertain to future events that I just read to you. Verse 14, seeing that you look for such things. Today I want to share with you what the Bible says you should look for. Everybody look up here. God started with Adam. How many saw me wear a suit coat? Did everybody see me wear a suit coat? See me now? It's too warm. God started with Adam approximately 6,000 years ago. Man's only been here approximately 6,000 years. I know they tried to teach you, and brother, I'm excited about Brother Phil. He's going to be teaching in our Christian school about evolution and creation. He did a lot of study. He's going to be a special class that he comes in every other week or something and teaches. He's going to talk about creation. To our students, I'm excited. It's going to be a new class. We just keep upgrading the school all the time. But God started with Adam, and that we call it, that's before Christ. And the Old Testament, Kenny, the Old Testament covers 4,000 years. When you talk about Moses and Abraham and Jeremiah and Isaiah, from the time of Adam all the way up to Jesus on the cross of Calvary to when he was born, you got about 4,000 years. Say this, the Old Testament covers approximately 4,000 years. Now, then you had Jesus die at Calvary's cross. How many are glad for Christ dying for our sins? He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for your family's sins. Matter of fact, he died for the sins of the whole world. And I thank God for Calvary's cross. Now, since Calvary, and by the way, that's the Old Testament, and you read your Bible, that's the Old Testament, 39 books in the Old Testament. The Old Testament covers, in your Bible, around 4,000 years. Now, your New Testament, which starts with Matthew and goes to the book of Revelation, it's approximately 2,000 years. Are you still with me? And we're in what we call, I talked about the seven dispensations of time in my introduction last week. We are in what we call the church age. Some people call it grace, but I taught you last week. We're not in the grace age. No one ever got saved. Norma, when we go up, because people aren't going to, only the saved people are going to know it. The lost people are going to say, where'd they go? Where'd they go? I know what they're going to say, because you hear a lot about UFOs and stuff. They're going to have big headliners. UFOs, people disappearing all over the world, snatched up by UFOs. I'm not being snatched up by a UFO. Amen. By the way, I believe in UFOs. That'll blow your mind. But they're not of God. I believe they're of Satan, from the heart of the earth. But that's another day. That's another day. I blew you out already. And so you don't have to believe in them. I don't care about that. That's not important. But Jesus is coming back in the rapture. The Bible calls it a mystery. By the way, in the Revelation, when you see Revelation 1:7, it says, here's like for instance, 1:7 says, every eye shall see him. No, every eye shall see him in Revelation 1:7. Because that's the revelation when he's coming back. The whole world's going to see Christ coming. Brother Dave didn't know I was preaching this. In Sunday school, if you miss Sunday school, shame on you. If you miss Sunday school, shame on you. Pastor Dave preaches his heart out. One lady told me this morning right after, she says, Pastor, I think you and Pastor Dave are the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life. I gave her $5 and said, thank you. And But David is preaching his heart out every Sunday morning, and he's doing a dynamic job. You miss it. You're really missing it. I'm serious. But he talked about when Christ comes back, we're going to be riding white horses. I'm going to show it to you in just 1 second. I'm laying a foundation. And he's going to be on that white stallion. I know there's a football team has a white horse they ride over there in California, I think it is. The Trojans. Yeah. UCLA. Well, Jesus is going to be coming down on a big white horse. Amen. And we're going to be with him, behind him, on horses too. So anyways, but every eye is going to see him then. It's not going to be a mystery then. The whole world actually are going to see him. They're actually going to see us. They're going to say, wow. That's why they're all looking for, the world's looking for different planets, Planet X and all kinds of stuff. They're going to say, we see him coming. We see him coming. So right now we're in the church age, Kenny. We're at the very end of it, Ken. It could happen right now. The rapture could happen, Brother Mike, while I'm preaching right now. If we do, we'll have the church picnic up there in heaven today, okay? We got the rapture. Just those that are saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to go. You're going to be left behind. And it's not religion. It's not being a good person. It's not being baptized. You must be born again. If you're not washed in the blood, you're not trusting Christ your Savior, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be left behind. You're not going up. So get ready for the upper taker, because he's definitely coming. Amen? So we go up. But after the rapture, there's going to be the worst time that the world ever known, 7-year tribulation. And after that 7 years, we're going to come back. By the way, up here, I don't have it, but there'll be a judgment seat of Christ just for Christians up here. Not to be saved. It's up here in heaven. You wouldn't be there if you weren't saved. It's for our stewardship, how we serve God. That's where you give out the crowns and stuff like that. I don't have it on the board, but it's right in this time here. It's why the people are going through that 7-year tribulation. We're going to be getting crowns and stuff up in heaven. Okay, then we come back. After that 7 years is over, there's a big battle called Armageddon. And Christ comes back and destroys them. Then he sets up his 1,000 years. 1,000-year kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a millennium. By the way, did you notice something? 4 and 2 is 6 and 1 is 7. Yeah, God rests on the seventh day. One day the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. And then if you eight's a new beginning. And by the way, if you start the 8,000th year, it's a new heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It's pretty exciting. Amen. But right before that, by the way, the white throne judgment, all the lost people of all eternity will stand at the white throne judgment. I hope that none of you are there. I hope none of your family's there, because if they are, they're cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. I believe with all my heart we're going to be there. We'll be seeing people cast in. That's why that's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And then Revelation 21 says, and God's wiped away all tears from their eyes. I believe he's wiping tears because we're crying, because we didn't witness to people. People died and went to hell that are family. Some of your own children, some of your own family are going to die and go to hell. And you didn't even try to witness to them. And you didn't care about them. You didn't pray for them. And now they're going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. No wonder God's going to wipe away our tears. Not going to change it, though. They're still going to be in hell. The only thing that can change it now is if we get excited about Christ now, get him saved now while there's chance. Kenny was telling me, you know, you never know when you're going to die. That young man, what a tragedy. That young man burn up 22 years old, 21 years old, whatever he was. Young man died the other night in a fire. I guarantee you that day when he got up before, he wasn't expecting dying that next day. And we never know when we're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when your family's going to die. But they better be prepared. Because heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. God prepared an ark. God prepared the heaven and earth. God always prepares things. And God's always a man. God that's prepared for everything. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. If you die without being prepared, you're going to die and go to hell forever. Don't miss out on heaven. Amen. And life is but a vapor, the Bible says in James. And so you better be saved and don't put it off. You better get to your family and don't put it off, because it's too late. Now, last week I wrote some things down here. It's 25 and 12. Let me give these. I'm going to give you 10 quick thoughts. I've got deacons. I got a lot of Bible. I want the people to see the Bible. If I can teach you and understand, when you read this Bible, you're going to be excited. Number one, what are some things that we are to look for? Preacher, what do you see coming? Well, I'm not going to tell you what I see coming. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says is coming. It says that we're to look for some things to look for. What are some things that we should look for? Well, I told you, number one, this is where I ended last week on number one. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I told you we should look for people falling away from truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Talking about the rapture. Except there come a falling away first. How many see that? And this is why I know this one's referring to the rapture, not the revelation. That man of sin be revealed. See, the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until the rapture. I'm going to give you some scary stuff today, but I want you to know, don't have a heart attack. We're not going to, Brother Freddie, we're not going to be here for that. Revelation 4, don't stay there in Thessalonians. Revelation 4, 1 says, I'll keep you from that hour. But Annie, your mother used to love to talk when I preached on the rapture. We're not going to go through that tribulation unless you're lost. All saved people are going to be up. He's going to take us out of here. We're not going to see. These things I'm going to read to you, Brother Kenny, we're not going to see these things. We're going to be gone. But we're going to see them start to be on the horizons. To know how close we are to it. Are you with me? Well, number one, the Bible teaches we are to look for a falling away from truth. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, talking about the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. And last week and I'm not going to preach a whole message on it, but last week I talked about how people are falling from truth. And I just made a couple statements. For instance, I said people... we're so far away from truth now, they say same-sex marriages are okay. They're not okay. They're an abomination to God. They say it's wrong to kill a dog, but you can kill babies by the millions in abortion. I mean, people are, David preached this morning, and it's the truth. Christians, even in Christian in the churches, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear preaching. Oh, hurry up, get it over with, preacher. I'm doing my duty. I came to hear you. Just get what you want to get out, spit it out. Let's get it over with so I can go. People don't want to hear. I was thinking, when David started preaching about revivals, I remember as a kid preacher, I went down and built a church on Galena Street. And right on Galena Street, Brother Brian, the Lord put on my heart, I'm going to have a tent revival. And we put a tent. I had to keep a guy 24 hours a day, every hour, so they don't come and steal it or burn it down. But I preached in a tent for 7 straight days, right on this Galena Street. We saw people come and get truckers pulled over. People, the next door neighbor came and said, I hear you preaching. We don't want to die and go to hell. It was amazing. People got saved. While we were setting things up, people came in. People came in, and I remember the Spanish lady, her name was Rosie, and she became a member of our church. She came in, and we were setting up the mics and the platform and how you get chairs. And I was just, I said, folks, let's pray. I was just talking to my members that helped. We were all there, and I said, let's pray for the service tonight. Here comes this lady walked in off the street. She thought we were having a church service. I said, every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. No one looking around. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know if you die, if you go to heaven or not, and you don't want to die and go to hell. And she raised, I don't want to die and go to hell. Amen. She came forward. We didn't have a church service, Brother Mike. We had people saved without church services. Amen. I preached every single night. And then they said, you're gonna have a heart attack now. They said, preacher, we don't want to end. Amen. We rented the tent for another week. We had 2 solid weeks of preaching, and I preached every night again, and I brought other preachers in the second week. I had 2 preachers every night. Amen. I was telling Brother David, that 1 month when I was, I remember, I preached, I was in church out of 31 days that month of September. I was in church, I preached every 28 days out of 31. Yes, sir. I love preaching. I love being in church. Amen. Amen. But you know what, folks, today, wow, 2 weeks revival. Preacher, I can't make 2 weeks. That's how far there's a falling away. Yes. See, we don't hunger and thirst after things of God no more.
That's
right. See, Ray, I tried to, she threw it away, though. She didn't know I wanted it. Rosie showed me a J.C. Penney magazine that comes in the mail. Now, you kids, listen to me. If I ever catch you, our church kids coming in with these, I'm going to take my belt and whip the fire out of you. They had, now you adults, listen to me. I'm not making this up. They were selling brand new overhauls, jeans, whatever they call them, and they have pre-holes. Billy, I'm not making it up. They got rips in them. I mean, Mike, do you remember, Gary, when we were kids? Mom and Dad used to put patches on them. Yeah. No, Grandma. Now they're ripping them. They're ripping them before you get them. And people are buying them. You tell me we're not going away. Now that we believe in the truth, we're leaving sanity. Hair, and they'll pay more money for ripped trousers than they will a nice pair of trousers. Where is this world going, Ruthie? I'm going to tell you right now. I know you kids think, oh, that old man, he's a stick in the mud. You better be glad I'm a stick in the mud. And you're going to be just like me, or I'll whip the fire out of you. You'd be walking around them. Now, if you rip your pants, that's different. Yeah. But don't be an idiot and buy them pre-ripped. Oh, and I think they called them destructing pants. And I just thought, made for dopes. Whoa, I'm not making this up. I told her this morning, I said, hey, I've been thinking about that. Those, and it was like, hey, by the way, there's like, D, there's like 3 or 4 different varieties. I'm telling you, look up here, church. People are falling away from truth. When people leave the Bible, they'll buy these kind of pants because they're leaving truth. The world is dumbing down. Listen to me. The world is, by the way, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, we used to go to the library, and we had library clubs. We used to read books. The average person doesn't read a book at all anymore, not even their Bible. They got these little games that the kids play all the time, with them computers and stuff. That's why we're getting a generation of num-nums. Kids are going to have carpal tunnel by the time they're 14, you know. So number one, stay right there in Thessalonians. Number one, the Bible teaches we to look for a falling away, and we're seeing it already. We're seeing it already. Number two, I'm looking for the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm not teaching nothing you don't know, but I want you to, and you need to see these. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. I had you in sight. All you got to do is turn back. You're almost right there. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, he don't want you to be stupid. He don't want you to be dumb. He wants you to be advised. He wants you to be learned. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those people that died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Remember, Mark talked about the people in the dead coming up. Even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. I'm glad. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I'm going to say something. Grandpa Lemley's body is in the ground, but Grandpa Lemley's alive. His soul and spirit is with the Lord right now. Grandpa's having a blast up in heaven. Your soul has eyes, ears, fingers, hands, everything. Right? Your soul is made up like your body. Now, Grandpa's up there right now, and he's having a blast. And I guarantee he's learning more jokes to tell us when we get there and enough to take us throughout eternity. Boy, I miss Grandpa Lemley. I love them so much. One day when the rapture comes, Grandpa's body is going to be resurrected. You say, well, what if it goes back to dirt? Well, God made it out of dirt, dust. He can bring it back. It's going to be resurrected, and it's going to go up, and his soul and spirit's going to go in it at the rapture, and God's going to give them, and all that are saved, brand new glorified bodies that never get old, that never get sick, that never die. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen! Amen? Man, I'm ready to turn this one in. Look at verse 15. For this we say you by the word of the Lord, it's not my word, it's his, that we which are alive remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The next thing to happen to look for is the rapture. The Bible says in Corinthians 15, don't turn to it, 51, says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Blink your eyes right now. That's how fast. One moment you're going to be here, Marie, the next thing you're going to be gone. Amen. And the blinking of an eye. Isn't that exciting? Where'd Kenny go? Where'd they go? Mark, where'd they go? Where'd they go? They went for Faygo, old-fashioned root beer. No, they don't pop. You have to be grew up. I grew up in Detroit, in the Detroit area. They used to make root beer, you know, pop, soda pop. Faygo still makes soda pop, don't they? I don't drink soda pop, but I know they used to have a commercial, you know, when I was a kid. I grew up with that. You had to live in this little area, I understand what I'm saying. But we're going up in the clouds, Brother Mike. We're going up. And I'm glad we're going up. Whether you believe it or not, ready or not, here I come, Jesus says. Amen. We used to play hide and seek when we were kids. Ready or not, here I come. Jesus says, ready or not, here I come. Well, we're going up. And we're going up, and we're going to, and I believe it's supposed to be, whenever the year 2000, I know it's 2009, but God's got, we're on a Roman calendar. I don't know how accurate the Roman calendar is. But God has a certain time. Are you with me? I personally believe it's going to be right at the year 2000, whenever when God made Adam. I believe God works in numbers. But the rapture, we're going up. Amen? We're going to be taken out of this world. And I'm glad. I can't wait. This isn't my home. Number three, what are some things to look for? We are to look for number one, falling away from truth. Number two, we're looking for the rapture of the saints. Only those that are saved are going to be going up, though, by the way. Number three, the Bible teaches that there will be a world leader antichrist to come into power. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. After the rapture happens, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that's worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple. Here's another thing, I don't have it on there. Look for the talk and look for the Jewish people to build the temple again. They will build a temple. Now, they could build a temple after the rapture because they can build things quick. In the middle of the trib, look up here. In the middle of the trib, right in the middle, 3.5 years. It's broke up into 3.5. You got 3.5 years. You got 3.5 years. Then it's 3.5 years. It's broke up. It's 7 years. Right in the middle of the tribulation, Kenny, the Antichrist, he's going to proclaim himself as God. This world leader. He's going to be a world leader. And he's going to proclaim himself as God. And when he does, he's going to go right into Jerusalem. They're going to take the temple that the Jews built. They haven't built it yet. They're going to. And he's going to say, I'm God. Everyone worship me. And that's when you're going to see the last 3.5 years is going to be the worst time that the world's ever seen, ever. Two-thirds of the world will die during the 7 years. In those 7 years, two-thirds of the world will die. But look at, are you in 2 Thessalonians with me? Am I boring you folks? See, now look at verse 4. Who is worshipped, so he got sent into the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And by the way, if you talk to any Jewish people, they've already got it on the agenda. They're getting their old rabbi priest back. They're bringing back all the they have been for years, yes. And they're getting ready for the temple, I'm telling you. They're getting ready for the temple. And they're going to build that temple. And by the way, when that just remember, that just tells you, Brother Steve, how close we are to Christ. Remember ye that not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might reveal in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he, the Holy Spirit, who now let us, will let until he be taken out. That's talking about the Christians being taken up in heaven. Rapture. Then, verse 8, shall the wicked be revealed. That Antichrist. Don't worry about it. Don't stay up all night, well, figure this guy's name out, how many letters. Forget it. It's all speculation. No one knows who the Antichrist is but the Lord and the Antichrist. You know, and I don't care. I'm not going to be here anyways. It's like saying who's going to be president during that time. I don't give a flip. I'm not going to be here. Be anybody. Then shall that wicked, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I'm going to tell you, just all, and I'm going to make a statement. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. President Barack Obama just memorized people. Like people just loved him at first. I mean, he just swept the people over. And I'm not saying Mr. Obama's the Antichrist. Matter of fact, he's not. But I'm just telling you, it'll be a political leader that the world's just going to embrace. Oh, I just love him. He's the one that's got the answer for us. Are you with me? And this world, this Antichrist, the world's going to embrace him, thinking he is the savior of the world. America embraced Mr. Obama as he was the savior of America. They're finding out something different, aren't they? Oh, well. Even his coming after working Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. That they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See, people say, well, preacher, if you're right, after the rapture, I'll know you're gone, and then I'll trust Christ. Not according to this. I've led people to Christ in this. I had a man tell me one time, his name was Big Red. It was one of my big buddies back in Toledo. He's in heaven now. Big Red Foley. He was a mean, tough guy. A big, burly guy, man. And I used to witness to him, and I'd say, Red, you're going to get saved. You better get saved. And he said, preacher, when you go up in the rapture, I'll get saved. Then I'll know you're telling me the truth. And I said, one day I said, Red, I'm going to read you this scripture. I'm going to be gone. You're not going to save. You're going to die and go to hell because God's going to send you a strong delusion. Once people have an opportunity to be saved and they understand they need to be saved, if they don't get saved, they can't get saved. There will be people saved in the trib, but they didn't understand. But those that receive that new truth now, those that need have truth now that don't receive truth, if you're here today and you've never been saved, and you just say, I'll put it off, you will be damned and doomed forever. Because look at that scripture says, that they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might, for verse 11, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I'm glad I showed that to Big Red, and I said, you're going to get to die and go to hell. About two or three days later, he came up and said, I said, Red, you got to get saved. He said, no, I don't have to be. I said, yes, you do, Red. You got to be saved. You're going to die and go to hell. He said, nope, I'm not. I said, Red, you're going to die and go to hell. You got to be saved. He says, no, I'm not. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. He grabbed me and said, I'm not going to hell, preacher. And I said, all right, Red. Tell me why you're not. Big, burly arm. That guy was a powerful guy. Oh, Big Red. He loved to hunt, buddy, I'll tell you that. He said, because I did what you said. I asked Jesus to save me last night. Amen. And I started to cry, and I tried to hug the big guy, and I said, oh, man, that's so great, Red. We became best friends. He got cancer at a young age, but he's in heaven today. I'm glad Big Red's up in heaven. If you're like Big Red here and you never trusted Christ your Savior, don't put it off. I don't care who you are, don't put it off. Get saved. The Bible says, look at one more scripture. Look at the book of Revelation. I'm going to run out of time here. Maybe I'll finish this on a Wednesday night. But not this Wednesday. Revelation chapter 13. See, all I need is about 4 hours and I could do this message. Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 15. And he had, this talking about this Antichrist, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Remember how Jesus had John the Baptist? John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. The false prophet, the Antichrist, is going to have a false prophet, a religious person. It's going to be like a type of pope. I'm not saying it is the pope. How many are with me? But there's going to be a world religious leader. Because there's going to be a one world religion. Everything's global. Everything's going to be one world. One world economy. One world currency. Everything's going to be one world. By the way, everything now. You think we're not going to go global? Everything's global now. Everything. Look what it says. And he, verse 16, he calls all both small, great and rich, poor and free, bond, receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. And that no man can buy or sell, say they have that mark, or the name of the beast or the number. By the way, we've got Social Security card numbers. You can't do anything without your Social Security card. That's not the mark of the beast, but I'm just saying. You say, well, they'd never get this in. They've already got stuff like this in, buddy. Don't tell me. And when the world goes to cashless society, and we're going to go to a cashless society, cashless, no money. Everything's going to be electronic. That's why they want you to put your paycheck, deposit your check in the bank. Electronical deposit. That's why they want you to pay all your bills electronically. Everything's going towards cashless society. Before we go to cashless society, America is going to make one stop, a little stop right before that. At least I believe we will. We're going to go to AmeriCoin, AmeriMoney. Mexico, America, and Canada are going to go together like the EU, like the Euro. And we're going to have Amero. It's going to be called Amero. See, America, North America, Amero, Mexico, United States, and Canada. And that is so close on the horizon. You can kiss your little goodbye. God bless God, and God we trust. That Amero is, they've already got it ready to put in. They are. I know they are. And so don't think the preacher's making stuff up. It's already it's ready to go and play tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to be in play tomorrow, but I'm saying they're all ready to do it. Here's wisdom. Let him have understanding and count the number of beasts, for it's the number of man. His number is 600, 666. 666. And so the mark of the beast, we can see things coming up called the mark of the beast. We won't be here. We're not going to get the mark of the beast. Don't lay awake at night sweating. Man, do I got the mark of the beast. You're not going to be here if you're saved. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. There's going to be a one-world government, one-world currency, one-world religion. But Bethel will be gone. Don't worry about it. Brother Mark, we'll be up and singing the songs of Zion in heaven. Amen? Okay, I'm going to do one more. It's already 12 o'clock. Well, we got up to number four. That's not bad. The Bible teaches that, number four, that we need to look after the rapture for a seven-year tribulation that's coming. That'll be the worst time. I had 10 of them, by the way. Maybe some other, not on a Sunday morning, but maybe sometime I'll be able to teach this again. I'd love to teach you this. You need to understand the Bible. This might be boring, but you need to understand where you're at. Because a lot of people are having heart attacks, and they're afraid, what's going on? Listen, even the lost world knows there's something wrong. Even the lost world knows something's coming. They know it. We as Christians, we know it because God gave me the Bible. And I think when you fully understand what's going on, you can better serve Christ. You can definitely be a better witness. Look at number four and I'll close. The Bible teaches that seven-year tribulation is coming. It'll be the worst time recorded in the history of mankind. In the history of mankind. There's coming a time. You can see things. Man, everything's crumbling. America's having trouble. But it's not just America. The whole world's having trouble. Matter of fact, America is one of the better places to live. Most people still get to eat at least one time a day here. John Jenkins made a statement. There's over 14 million people dying every day of starvation around the world. 14 million every single day around the world dying because of food. There's 6.5 billion people in the world. He made a statement. Over half the population of the world, half of the pop. You know what's going to be on the mind of people. Almost 4 billion people. 3.5 billion people tomorrow. You know what they're thinking about tomorrow? 3.5 billion people, half the world's population. How they're going to get enough food to feed their family for one time. That's on their mind. Hello. Aren't we blessed in America? Well, let me close out. Look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 24. You know, I am going to preach this. I don't know when, but I'm going to continue this. Not now, but I just want you to have it. Look at Matthew chapter 24. I want it. This doesn't tickle your ears, but if you get a truth from this, I want you to be knowledgeable of what's going on. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Look up here, and I'm going to wrap this up. When you read Matthew 24, when you read Luke 21, when you read Mark 13, all those passages are talking about the kingdom age and the tribulation. When you're reading those things about, they said, show us the signs. And I'm going to give you one last scripture, and I'm going to close. When you read those scriptures, they're all referring to future events. We're going to be gone. But what I want you to see is this. Brother Tim, we are already starting to see them on the horizon. If we're seeing these things that the Bible says it's in the future, brother, how close are we to the coming of Christ? Are you getting this, church? Look what it says. Look what it says there in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. I'm talking about, you give me the worst things ever happened. The 7-year period coming up after the rapture is going to be the worst time in recorded mankind history. Man will never see a time like they saw in this coming. We got the worst days ahead of us, but we're going to be gone. That's why people are dying of heart attacks and people are stressed. People, look up here. I've never seen people stressed out. I've been preaching, Billy, for over 30 years. I've been pastoring for 28 years. I've been preaching since I've been 21 years old. Been pastoring for 28 years. In all my ministry combined, you listen to this, man, and I'm talking to preachers. There are preachers, Mike, they're dropping out of the ministry. They can't even, the stress is so great. The pressures are so great. The people are so stressed out. They're dropping out of the ministry like flies. The one preacher, I'm not going to say his name, up in Michigan, that's a renowned, they mentioned, they said he committed suicide. He got so overwhelmed with all the pressures. They had a big church. I mean, they had all kinds. Yeah, 5,000? 5,000 people in that church. The pastor was renowned. And he just went and committed suicide. He couldn't take it no more. Take it easy on Pastor Dave. He's the one that's got to be here after I'm gone. Are you with me? Look up here. And Christians, people are overwhelmed with pressures. I mean, people have got pressures like I've never seen before. Why? The spirit of wickedness is going on, and it's putting pressure on, it's oppressing people. People are being oppressed. Look up here. Christians cannot be, we cannot be possessed. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you can be oppressed, but you can't be possessed. Anyone that teaches you that you can be possessed of the devil, that the devil can't live inside you, greater is he that's within you than he that's against you, 1 John 4:4. Anyone tells you can be, if you're saved, and they tell you you can have that Satan can live in you, they don't know their Bible. And I don't care if they're called a doctor and they got a big church. They don't know their Bible. Because 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's within me than he's against me. And I got the Holy Spirit in there. And every time the devil comes, the Holy Spirit says, get out! Get out! When the possessed ones, when Jesus came, when and you read the Gospels, when the possessed ones came, Jesus just spoke words, and the devils flew out of them. Let me give you one last scripture, and I'll close. You heard that before, haven't you? They're going to put on my tombstone. Give me one more scripture. Look at Luke chapter 21. I promise I'll stop. Why? Because I'm going to go to the picnic. Luke 21. I'm being influenced today. Boy, don't miss the picnic. Luke 21, verse 25 to 32. And I promise I'll stop. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon. Boy, why is all these weather patterns going on? Boy, everyone's worried about these weather. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. I'm telling you right now, it's going to get worse. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and then stars, and upon earth distress of nations with perplexity. And the sea and the waves. He gives you an example. You ever see a roaring sea and the wave? That's, he said, that's how the world's going to be. By the way, we're seeing it right now. By the way, Iran's got nukes. Israel's going to have to blow them up. Amen. And if they do, don't you be mad at Israel. Amen. They have to protect their sovereignty. Amen. Men's heart failing them. Did you know the greatest killer in America today and around is heart attacks? Men's hearts failing them for the looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I realize these are tribulation passages, but we're already seeing some of the we're seeing some of this stuff now. It's going to be more intensified, Bobby, when it really comes. But if we're seeing it now on the horizon, how close is this time? And then shall there see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and glory. Amen. That's talked about the revelation. Put Revelation 1:7. That's not the rapture. That's the revelation. We've already gone. This is at the end of 7 years this is talking about. And when these begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. These are talking about the tribulation people. Look at verse 29. He spoke in a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. By the way, the Israel's the fig tree. And when they now shoot forth to see and know your own selves that summer's nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things, shall come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. I'm going to close, but I'm going to just say this to you. I am going to take another date sometime and preach this. Maybe next Sunday night. We'll see. In May of 1948, Israel became a nation. First time they had they were scattered around the whole world. Ezekiel said they'd be scattered abroad. But in the end times, God would bring them back. They were scattered for 2,500 years. Kenny, we're the only people to ever see, after 2,500 years, we saw Israel come back and become a nation. God said, I'll scatter you, but at the end time, right before I come back, I'll bring you back and you have a nation. And in 1967, there was a six-day war. And they got back Jerusalem. Oh, I love Jerusalem, the city of God. 1967, a six-day war, sixth number of man. Where 3 million against 1 million. And the 1 million beat the 3 million. And they actually ran them right out. They ran them right in the Mediterranean, but they could have kept right on going. Israel, God bless it. I love Israel. Amen. I do love, not because I love you too, but I loved Israel before you ever came here, David. Amen. I thank God for our Jewish people. I love them with all my heart. They're the apple of God's eye. Watch, it said, this generation shall not pass away. I don't know how long. Some people think 40 years. I don't know how long a generation is. Some people, different things. But God said, when you see that happen, when you see them get back there, and they're back, 1967, he said, I'll be back before that generation dies off. They got back in 1967. And he said, I'll be back before that generation passes away. What am I looking for? I'm looking for Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Bible. I wish I could have time to teach people. If there's anything I want to leave people, I want to leave them truth of the Word of God. I want to leave them the dispensations of when you're working with different areas of different time and different people. Lord, I just pray with all my heart. If there's any here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray with all my heart that you would speak to them. I pray you'll speak to Christians, not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged. We're almost there. Not to give up. We're right at the finish line. Don't give up. You ran this far. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't let up now. You're almost at the finish line. Just one more day, one more night. You're going to be coming back soon. Help us to do all we can while there's still day, Night cometh when no man can work. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I'm positive. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. If you're here today and you say, I'm not sure, don't walk out of here not being sure. The Bible says you can know. You can know. You don't have to doubt. You can know it for sure. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. You'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to be left behind for that great tribulation. I don't want to be left behind when everything goes wild here. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't want to die and have to go to the white throne judgment and be cast in the lake of fire. Pray for me. You'd say that. Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. I'm not sure. Anyone like that? I'm not sure. I'm not. Just raise your hand. Let me see it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. How many would say, I'm a Christian? A preacher, lately I've been wasting time and I need to get about God's business. Pray that I can make my life count. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my, all over the building. Yes, yes. God bless you. Father, we did the best we could. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll put truth in people's hearts and help us to be challenged with the days that we're living in. Help us, Father, to be understanding what's going on. Help us to see the things. You tell us to look for those things to come. And Lord, help us to see those things, that look for those things that are coming and not be dismayed, but understand this is what you said that's going to have to take place. Help us not to be discouraged, but because we see it, help us to be encouraged because we know you're coming soon. Bless our people now and bless the invitation. Lord, I pray if anyone's lost, please don't let them leave, oh God. Don't let them leave this building until they get saved, I pray. Holy Spirit of God, convict people. Convict them, I pray, in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse of invitation. You'd like to come, you come right now.